church should be. How we as a congregation can be the best congregation that we can be. Now, we do very well, but we can always improve. And if we are not constantly growing, then we're not. If we're not constantly evaluating, as Jerry said, we're going to get off track. But first, I want to give you a little quiz. See how you do. Name the five wealthiest people in the world. Name the last five Heisman Trophy winners. I name a couple. Name the last five winners of the Miss America contest. We're struggling, aren't we? Name the 10 people who have won a Nobel Prize or a Pulitzer Prize. Okay, you see, we can come up with maybe one or two. Name the last five Academy Award winners for the best actor or actress. Have we got any of these questions right? Name the last decade's worth of World Series winners. Actually, the last 5 years wouldn't be too difficult. You get one team, you get it right three times. Tough questions, but these people are at the top of their fields. Powerful. Influential. But we don't remember them. We don't know who they are. We don't remember them. We don't remember the headlines of yesterday very well. But these were no second-rate achievers that should be forgotten. Let me ask you, have another quiz. Name two teachers who aided you through your journey through school. Name three friends who have helped you through a difficult time. Name five people who have taught you something worthwhile. Think of a few people who have made you feel appreciated and special. Is this quiz a little easier? Think of five people you enjoy spending time with. A little easier? But what's the lesson here? The people who make a difference in your life are not the ones with the most credentials, or the most money, or the most awards. It is the people who make a difference in your life are the ones who care about you. And guess what? We may not make that top quiz list, but we can definitely make the bottom quiz list. In not only just a handful of people's lives, but in hundreds of lives. Because as we care for one person, and we help them, that person cares for another, and it's a chain reaction as well. That's what I want us to focus on. That we can make a difference in this world because we care, to simply care about people. I mean, the world is messed up. We acknowledge that. People are broken. Many people feel all alone. And guess what? You personally have the skills at your disposal to fix that, to help that. You have the skills. You don't have to necessarily learn them. You've got them. You've got two good ears that work. You don't need a mouth, really, to care about people. Got a couple of shoulders, a couple of hands. You've got the tools. You've got a compassionate heart. All you've got to do is put it into use to care for people, to let them know that you care about them, that they are worthy to be cared for. People are needy. And why are people needy? One, people are needy because God created us to be relational people. God created us with a need for relationships. Now we're needy because those relationships have been broken. In Genesis 2:18, it says, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.'" We are relational beings. Our greatest need is to belong and to be loved. Even Maslow recognized that. Belonging. And guess who you belong to? You belong to God. God loves you. You belong to Him. He created you. He loves you. He sent Jesus to die for you. That is how much He cares. Now, we often forget that and think, well, I wish other people would care about me. But the Creator of the universe cares about me. Now, we don't know that, but we forget it. In the dark times, in times of discouragement, we forget that. But we always need to remember how much He loves us. No matter what other people think of you, no matter what, if you think no one else cares about you, God cares about you. The Apostle John wrote in 1 John 4:7, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. God did not just say He loved us. He demonstrated His love by sending Jesus. And we need to demonstrate our love for one another also. We can't just say, "I love you, I care about you." We need to demonstrate that care in tangible ways. And we have the ability to do that. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, the early Christians, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread into prayer. And all the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. The believers were together daily. They heard God's word. They prayed. They fellowship. They remembered the Lord's death and His resurrection. And they gave to each other as they had need. It doesn't say when they could afford it, they helped those in need. It doesn't say when they had time, they helped those in need. It said when anyone had need, they met need. No qualifiers. Do you know anybody that has need? So you can meet, but you don't have time. You don't have finances. You don't have the energy. You got your own problems to deal with. No, see, as Christians, we need to see somebody in need and help them, care for them, love them. The word there in verse 42, the word for fellowship, means shared life. Sharing life includes your finances, because you trade your time for money at your place of employment. Sharing life also means you make emotional connections with people. So are you fellowshipping with others? Are you sharing life with other people? Sharing your finances, sharing your emotional connections with others? Now, we just had a breakfast fellowship. It was only fellowship if you shared life together. Now, if you just sat there and chit-chatted about the weather, I think that's fellowship. Because what emotional connection is there about the weather? But now, if you shared life, what's going on in your life, what's concerning the other person, the joys and the sorrows, well, then that's fellowship. And that's what we need to do. We need to share life together with one another. Now, sometimes that's good and happy moments, and sometimes it's not. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, live in harmony with one another. Now, this past week, we all had the opportunity to let Tom know that we cared about him. He was in an accident, and he posted on his Facebook page that he felt loved after his accident. He wrote, so thankful to all my friends and family for the prayers, phone calls, texts, emails, and visits in the past 2.5 days. Tom felt cared for after his accident. But what if no one would have reached out to him? What if no one would have said anything? What if no one would have said, hey, we're praying for you? Now, what if no one contacted him to see how he was doing or how his family was doing? How would he have felt? Unloved, uncared for. How many people walk through life? Now, it's easy, I guess, in a tragic accident for people to stop everything and care. But what about just day-to-day tragic accidents of life? The struggles of day-to-day living that we forget to stop and make sure people are okay with whatever they're facing, whatever the difficulty is. We were created to be relational. We need each other. So we need to make sure that we show that in reaching out to people. Can you, do you let other people know that you care about them? Like I said before, all you need is 2 ears and a compassionate heart. You can listen. If you don't believe me, see somebody that looks discouraged. Well, see, first you've got to look. Find somebody that seems discouraged and say, how are you? And they go, I'm fine. And then you give them a serious look and say, really? How are you? They may just open up. You don't need to say another word. All you have to do is listen. Sometimes in tragic situations, in crisis, people go, well, I don't know what to say. And I would say, well, say nothing at all because you're probably saying something stupid. I try to keep my mouth shut because I don't want to say something stupid. You don't have to say anything. How many times can you think you were in the middle of a crisis and a friend came over and you remember the brilliance of what they said? I didn't think so. But you remember them being there, giving you a hug, and listening to everything you said that didn't make sense. We don't have to say anything. All we have to do is listen. Give a hug and care. It's really that simple. Because that's what we need when we've been in those circumstances. And guess what? That's what other people need when they're in those circumstances. But we have to see people in need. We have to slow down enough and to see the actual need. Take the time to look around. Is someone going through a difficult time? Are they having health issues or family issues or work issues? We have to know one another well enough to be able to figure out if somebody is okay. We try to hide it, but our body language and our facial expression, even how we answer a question, we can't hide it from everybody. Not if we know one another. And that's where we have to share life to begin with. So that we can know, you know, you look sad today. What's going on? But if we just blow by and don't think about it, or know one another well enough, now you can't know everybody, but you can know a large amount of people. You'll be able to read their expression in the care. Too often, we're too selfish to notice other people's problems because we've got enough problems on our own. We can't be so caught up with our issues that we won't take time to care about other people's issues and their trouble. We need to look for people to care about, to love. And as we're looking for them, just they might be looking for us, and it may be a good fit that we can help and encourage one another. There was a teacher who asked the class to write a little story of the most unusual event that happened during the past week. And little Johnny, you know, during his report, he was ready to stand up in class and to read his little essay. And it began like this. Daddy fell into a well last week. And the teacher, oh my, is he okay? Little Johnny said, he must be. He quit yelling yesterday. But is that how we treat people? Well, they must be okay. They quit yelling. They're still in the well. But they quit crying for help. They must be okay. There are hurting people everywhere. Can you hear them crying? Do you hear their yells for help? Or maybe they've yelled so long and people haven't helped that they just stopped crying. We have to look for people and to be sensitive and have our ears open and our eyes open so that we can reach out. Now that hurting person may be yourself. And you can't be afraid or ashamed to ask for help. Now I will actually ask for a show of hands. How many of you are willing, if you know it, to help somebody who is in need? That looks like about 100%. Well, another test. Don't lie. How many of you, when you're in need, ask for help? All right. Now, why is that? You don't ask for help. 95% of you don't ask for help. Why? Because there's nobody that cares enough to help you. Oh, well, everybody said they would be willing to help, but no one asked for help. Now, what's that about? You too prideful to ask for help? You too ashamed to ask for help? It doesn't make any sense. People say, well, I don't want to ask people to help me. Well, why not? Don't you want to help people in need? Well, yeah, I'd love to help people in need. Well, then, don't you think other people would want to help you in your time of need if you just let them know you had a need? And maybe it is. Maybe we want people to figure out that we have a need. But again, the problem is we put on a brave face like, hey, nothing's wrong with me. I got it all together. Why don't you have it all together? And we expect people to figure out that I've got a need. That makes any sense. But go ahead and look for people in need. But also ask. Be willing to ask. Would you believe that I struggle? That I need somebody to share trouble with? I need somebody to care about me? I need somebody to care about my family? Surely not. Preacher got it all together. But you would be wrong. And we've got to quit acting like we've got it all together so we can help one another. And then maybe, actually, we may be able to get it all together. Or at least get closer. Hokie already shared this verse, James 1:27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. We've got to look for people that are in need and that we can help. We've got to hear their cries. And in the way to hear their cries is to turn down the noise of your life. Now, husbands, how many times have you been sitting, watching a sporting event or news or whatever on television, and your wife says something to you, and you grunt and go, You didn't hear a word of it. And you get in trouble later for it. You got to turn down the door. Here's my suggestion, marital solution. If the wife comes in and wants to say something to you, hit the pause button, turn off the TV, whatever. You're not going to remember it in probably 10 minutes later anyway, no matter what's going on in the news or on the sports channel. I just proved that in the first quiz, right? It's not important, not near as important about what your wife's about to say. Amen. One amen, that's all I can get. There's nothing more important, husbands, than what your wife is about to say. And I tossed a little softball out there ready for all you ladies to knock it out of the park, and that's the best thing. Oh, man, that's me.
Give us a chance.
Now, I'm staying out of the doghouse. We've got to turn the voice down in our life so that we can hear and see people in need. You know what King David did in 2 Samuel chapter 9? It says, David asked, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Saul and Jonathan had been killed in battle. David is now the king. And he says, "Is there anyone in Saul's household that I can show kindness to?" King David purposely sought for somebody to show care for. And he found him. Mephibosheth, say that quick. And he was honored and he came and he accepted the king's kindness. Is there somebody that you can go search for to show kindness to show care for? And by chance, you're the person someone finds? Accept that kindness and care graciously, just like we could have shown. You know, we need to pay attention and see the needs of people. Read people's body language, read people's tone. If we get to know people, we can read their faces, right? You know when your spouse is upset or happy. You know when your kids are the same way. You know when your friends are having a good day or a bad day. We know those things. We can just expand that out a little bit to try to know other people well enough to have that emotional connection so that we can care for other people. And if someone asks you, "Are you okay?" Don't lie. You know lying is a sin, right? Now, we don't have to share everything. Well, sit down, you've got a couple of hours. You know, we're not going to do that with everyone. But someone who you don't feel comfortable necessarily sharing your life story with, you can say, "It is a difficult time. Would you just pray for me?" Wow, now would that blow somebody away? Now, if you ask the question, be prepared and ready. You ever known anybody? I ain't asking them how they're doing because they're going to really tell me. You care enough about people to ask, to see. Maybe we need to ask God to help us to be sensitive to other people. To ask Him to help us to see and to hear with compassion and then respond with His love. First, I think that has to start in the home. We need to do that with our family. Then we need to do that with our church family. Then we need to do that with other people who we know. And to spread out the care and the love that we can help people. Are there people you've not seen at church for a while? Could you call them? Could you message them? Could you text them? Could you somehow touch base with them? Do you think they feel lonely and hurt? Do you think no one cares? No one misses us? And I know what some of you are thinking. Jim, isn't that your job? It is. So that means you don't have to do anything. That'd be false. It's my job and it's your job. I'm sorry you don't get paid. We want Oak Forest Church of Christ to be a caring family. Not to have a caring preacher, I guess that would be a plus. But I'll tell you what, I will fail you. I can't meet all your needs. But you, caring for one another, can meet all your needs. I'm not going to be able to do that. I can't do that. And so if we care for one another, our needs will be met. And then we will be able to care for others in need. And that should be our goal. And we need to look at it not as a job, but as an opportunity to give back. An opportunity to share with people that we really do care about people. We really do miss people. We really do are concerned about their condition and what they're struggling with. And if somehow we can just be a little support, a little voice, a little encouragement, a shoulder to cry on, or a hand to help lift up, whatever we can do, that we want to do that. It is so easy with technology these days to touch base with somebody. How easy is it to send a Facebook message or a text message, or if you're old school, to pick up the telephone and call somebody? And if you have to, write a letter and a card. That's good too. We've got a postman in the congregation that would support their job. Not opposed to that either. Oh, you don't have time. I don't believe that. We have time to do what we want to do. So this is my challenge. This week, can you contact at least two people that you wouldn't normally contact? Now, some people are really good at contacting people, checking in on people. That is great. So keep that up. But to your list, add two more people. To you who don't do as well, think of two people. Did two people just come to mind that you could reach out to, that you could talk to, that you could encourage, write a note, send a Facebook message, something, anything, just to touch base so they know that you care? Can I challenge you to do that this week? Should you do that? So that everybody could care. Do you like it when you know that, hey, somebody's praying for you or is concerned about what's going on in your life? You know, makes you feel encouraged, doesn't it? So let's try to do that with one another. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says this: do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interests of others. So first, do nothing out of selfish ambition. When you do, you put others down to get what you want. Now that's not what we're talking about here. Don't do that. That's not Christian. It's not polite. But we have to be careful, because it's easy to get caught up in serving me and forget to serve others. What did Jesus say? He didn't come to be served, he came to serve. And if we wear his name, our goal isn't to be served, our goal is to serve. And in the process of serving, we'll be served as well. Do nothing out of vain conceit. Don't think that you're better than you are. Don't have a big head and think something. The remedy for selfishness and being conceited is humbling yourself to serve other people. To serve others. Romans 12:3 says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. And then Philippians 2:3 again. But in humility, consider others better than yourself. Considering others better than yourself is not putting you down. It is raising others up. And so that's what we need to do. We need to humble ourselves. We don't have to criticize ourselves. We need to humble ourselves and raise other people up. But also Romans 12:10 goes on to say, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. If we focus on honoring others and considering them better, we'll not have time to be selfish. Instead of looking for ways to get others to serve you, make it your challenge to look for ways to serve them. As Philippians 2:4 says again, each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Look to the interests of others. Now, Paul is not saying here, sacrifice all your needs and cares and concerns. He says, look to others' interests as well as you look to your own. It's easy to take care of our own interests. I'm going to take care of number one. The question is, am I going to take care of number one? See, it's easy to take care of self. It's not as easy to take care of someone else. But that's what we have to focus on. And that's what he's saying. Two little boys sitting down for breakfast. Mom's cooking some pancakes. First one's about to be done. Mom says, who gets the first one? Well, the two little boys start arguing. I get the first one. And Mom sees this as a chance to teach a lesson. And she says, well, what would Jesus do? Jesus would say, well, brother, you can have the first one. And so the oldest little boy said, hey, you play Jesus. Hey, you play Jesus. You serve other people. You serve them. Well, we can't be telling the other person to do that. But that's what Christ is asking us to do. You serve. Be like me. I came to serve, not to be served. And so can you serve? Because we need to be like Jesus. And Philippians 2 goes on to say, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of the Son, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Jesus made himself nothing to serve him. Will you make yourself nothing? Will you humble yourself to serve others? Can we be Christ's? Can we be a Christian, which means Christ-like, and serve other people? Let them know that we care about them, that they are valuable, they're worthy. And we give them that care, that time, and that love. Remembering that we can love because Christ first loved us. Do you understand how much Christ loves you? Sins, if you're still walking in your sins, and you go, how in the world could God forgive me? forgiveness? Will you come as we say? Will you be immersed into the water of the baptism today?